All right, we're back. Reporter's Corner, episode 5. 5, right? 5, yes.
Yep, episode 5.
Tough look for the Brainerd math if I can't even get to 5. This week we have on Travis Schouty from Ferris State, coming off of a pretty nice split to open the CCHA slate with Bemidji State. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are you doing today?
Doing good. I just said this on the CCHA show, and I'm still dealing with it, but I've got some, like, vertigo I'm dealing with right now, and it's really weird. I've never had experienced this before, so I'm getting through it. I'm getting by, but it's been focusing on things has been, like, a process, but...
vertigo and basic math is a hell of a way to start this podcast.
You know what, though? The deal is, though... The podcast presses on. The vertigo may continue, but the podcast doesn't stop. And this week it didn't stop for Travis Schouty. We had a good talk, a good chat with Ferris State's captain this season. He is a junior captain, which isn't kind of a rarity in itself. He's been at Ferris State his whole college career. We got to talk a little. For the second week in a row, we got to talk a little Caesars AAA hockey.
This is not the same interview. This is not the same interview with a little Caesars AAA defenseman.
It's really bizarre because we started doing the prep for this and we did not realize that Travis Schouty was teammates with our guest from last week, Grant Heidman, who was also a captain at Lake Superior State. So two captains played together that are in the CCHA on the same Little Caesars AAA team and under Chris Draper. So we got to talk a little bit about that, rehash some of the same things we talked about last week in terms of that, because it's a really unique team. It had a ton of talent. We kind of looked into you know, some of the guys who came out of that a little bit, and Jared did a little background research on some of that. And so we talked about that, and Travis actually spent his junior career in the NAHL with Austin Bruins and eventually made it to the USHL. He got the chance to play for both the Sioux City Musketeers and the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. So just a great chance to get to talk about his captaincy and just his hockey journey and everything we like to kind of bring up here on the Reporter's Corner. I mean, we could talk a little bit about the series that just happened too, Jared. I know you'll have some good insight. I talked a little bit about it on the CCHA show. And personally, I thought it was a series where both teams could kind of take away something good. You know, Bemidji goes on the road to get some points. You know, I think they probably weren't too happy with the way they played Friday, but the way they responded Saturday had to be pretty good. What are your kind of takeaways from the series? I know you got the chance to be at Media Day now. And
yeah, it was you're right. They weren't thrilled with how they played on Friday. Although I thought they kind of outplayed him Friday and didn't end up on the right result. Noah West made some unbelievable saves that kind of flew under the radar a little bit for Ferris State. And I didn't think they played as good on Saturday, but they come up on the right side of a win thanks to Yuri Vizanen, CCHA forward of the week, and Tom Ceratori kind of agreed with that. So, yeah, you're right. Like, when you're not playing your best, you get 3 points for Bemidji State, and same thing goes for Ferris State on Friday night when I would imagine they would – say they probably weren't at their best in that game either. Then again, I mean, it's also October, so really who's at their best in October to begin with? So, yeah, really fun series to kick off CCHA play for the whole league, because I think that was the first series between two CCHA teams, correct?
It was. And Ferris is going to get another good challenge this weekend. They're going to go on the road and take on a Bowling Green team that I know is pretty hungry. They feel like they probably should have played better against Ohio State. I think what happened in that series was ultimately kind of just telling us what kind of team Ohio State is. So we'll get the chance to see Bowling Green on their home ice against Ferris State, who I think might be surprising some people this season early on. And we got the chance to talk about Coach Daniels as well, who's a legend in this game. And Travis had some good insight on that. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose – without further ado, Jared, let's just kick it to the interview here, huh?
Yep, let's do it. Here's Travis Schouty. All right, episode 5. And with our 5th guest, we have Ferris State junior captain and defenseman, Travis Schouty. Travis, thank you again for joining the show today. Let's start there. I mean, it's just you 2 years with the Bulldogs, you got named captain. I want to just get your thoughts on you know, what that honor was like for you after 2 years in Big Rapids.
You know, it's a huge honor. I mean, I was named captain at the end of last year. And it's just a huge honor to be able to have my teammates and my coaches kind of see me as a leader and look up to me and look to me to guide this team.
You know, I'm curious, Travis, I like to talk about kind of the early years, how you got into the sport, and you've got a unique background. I know you're from Marysville, Michigan, which is a city just north of Detroit. It's on the banks of the St. Clair River. For those of you who don't know, that's the border that between Canada and the U.S. What can you tell us about your early playing days and kind of how your love for hockey sort of materialized?
So I started when I think I was about like 4 years old. I have two older brothers, and me and my twin brother would go and watch them. And my dad said we were just so eager to get on the ice. And, it kind of just took off from there. Like, hockey has just grown. My love for hockey has grown throughout the years. And I've always just been, it's always everything I've ever known, you know? And, I started off playing locally in Port Huron, and then I moved to Little Caesars and started playing in Detroit for them. And I played for Little Caesars my entire rest of my youth career until I went to juniors. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride for sure.
We'll get into your brother thing really quick, because we actually interviewed one of your teammates from that Little Caesars team last week in Grant Hindman. And he talked about playing for Chris Draper, kind of how stacked those teams were that you got to play on. And, you know, one of the things that came out of it was, I think of the 17 guys that Elite Prospects has on that roster, 13 of them played Division I hockey and one played in the OHL. What was it like playing on that talented of a youth hockey team?
It was humbling, that's for sure. No, I'm just kidding. But it was awesome, you know, like, just going against those guys every day in practice. They're all amazing guys, and going against them every day in practice, you get so much better because you're playing against such good players, you know what I mean? Such skilled players. And yeah, like you said, like 13 of them went Division I, and that's literally insane to hear out of a youth hockey team. And we stayed together for so long too. And obviously playing under Chris Draper was an honor for sure. He was an amazing coach and an even better person. So,
yeah, I mean, go into that a little bit more. I mean, he's obviously a heck of a hockey player in his own right, and then he turns to coaching. You know, what were practices like under Chris Draper?
They were intense. You know, they were high paced. That we battled very hard, and he got the best out of each one of us every single day. Even after, like, we'd have a long day of school, and he'd still motivate us. And I mean, he was just awesome. Like, he knew. He had so much experience, as you guys know. I played 20 years in the NHL. Like, his experience was, and his knowledge was truly insane. So
it's funny because we kind of stumbled across this AAA thing as we were doing a little research in it. You know, we wanted to have you on the show, and we didn't realize we had back-to-back guys. So we were like on a 2-week beat here for the Little Caesars team. Do you remember playing with Grant? I mean, I'm sure you guys same paired up together, maybe even.
Yeah, Grant and I played together for many years, and he's an amazing guy, and I love him. And yeah, we were partners just maybe for a little bit. I mean, partners switched all the time in youth, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we'd have seven defensemen, so you just roll through.
Right.
But playing with him, yeah, he's an amazing guy. He's a rig, that's for sure. He's really strong dude. So
yeah, and obviously one of your teammates was your twin brother. That's, you know, not many kids get a chance to play with their brother growing up, much less their twin brother in the same kind of level, tier by tier, right? You know, what was that like, you know, kind of being paired up together all the way through youth hockey?
I mean, it was truly a blessing. Like, it was awesome to be able to play with him. I mean, I had someone right there. Like, I knew what he was thinking on the ice all the time. So it was awesome to play with him. And, unfortunately we don't get to play together anymore, but, yeah, just playing with him was truly amazing. And like, I have the, you know what I mean, my best friend playing with me, going to the rink with me every single day. So he was a motivator for me for sure. So
what were
the
youth, or not youth, but like you're playing pickup hockey outside. Maybe you guys get put on opposite ends, right? You know, did it get competitive? Was there a little bit of a sibling rivalry there?
I mean, it definitely got competitive. Every time I go up against him in a one-on-one drill, I knew it was going to be one of my toughest reps all practice. Or like if we were just playing against each other, I knew it was going to get pretty heated pretty fast. So we always had little battles, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But we just pushed each other to be better all the time. And we were both – I mean, he's definitely a really skilled forward. So just going against him was always a battle for me for sure.
You're kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting because you're one of the rare Division I players who's played in the NAHL 3. And I mean, even if it was just for one game, I mean, you also played 3 years in juniors in the NAHL and the USHL. Just walk us through your path and, you know, how did that sort of prepare you for the college level at Ferris State at juniors at least?
So after my 17 year, I was 17 playing for Little Caesars, and I was like, you know, like what's next? Like I was debating whether to just go 18U Little Caesars or go juniors. And I ended up getting an opportunity to play for Austin Bruins in the NAHL, and my brother did too. So it was perfect. You know, like we're both go live out there together and it'll be perfect. And, first year, like younger defenseman in the NAHL, you know, it's like you get that sixth defenseman role, which is, you know, it's development year for me. So, and then the next year, well, COVID shut down that year kind of early. And then the next year I ended up getting more of opportunity and just developed more in those different situations. You know what I mean? And as I got stronger and as I got faster, I continued to improve. And then, my third year I got to go play for Cedar Rapids, which was truly awesome. I think it was probably one of the best things to happen for my hockey career, just playing under Mark Carlson. He truly pushed me to be better every single day. And, he's the definition of a hard worker. So
we have, go ahead, Trent.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you talk about, you know, the development in that first year of the NAHL, and eventually you make it to the USHL. You know, can you sort of walk me through how that development progressed, like just from the NAHL level to the USHL level, like how much different that even was for you?
I didn't think it was a crazy – I think the USHL was definitely a little faster and a little more I don't know, offensive minded, you could say. Definitely in the NAHL, like the development process for me was just becoming stronger and being heavier down low, like playing just better defense. You know what I mean? Because you come from youth and it's a lot different. It's a lot more just flow and run and gun. And so definitely going to the NAHL was an adjustment. And the development I made was just getting stronger down low, like being more sound defensively, knowing when to I guess jump in the rush and not jump in the rush. You know what I mean? And then going to the USHL, yeah, it was just a little faster, a little more offensive. So
I do want to ask you about the one game you played in the NAHL 3, because it's, you know, the difference, like you said, between the NAHL and the USHL for some players like yourself, you said it's not as drastic as it may seem. What is the difference between the NAHL 3 and the NAHL?
You know, I was only there for one game. I don't know. I don't even know. I didn't play.
You had two
assists. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get to play that much, I guess. But it's definitely a lot different, you know? I didn't really know any of the systems or anything. So I was just kind of out there. Yeah, it was a difference for sure. So
game slows down a little bit.
Yeah. Game slowed down a little bit for sure. So.
But ultimately, you did end up at Ferris. And, you know, I want to kind of tie it back to your brother, because you guys go through the recruiting stuff around the same time, even though you end up at different schools. You know, talk to me about going through that recruiting process with your brother, even though you guys ultimately ended up at different destinations.
Well, actually, he committed to Michigan State while we were still in high school. He was still pretty – we were, like, still pretty young. And so he committed pretty early, and he kind of knew like that's where he wanted to go and everything pretty early on. And for me, it was obviously like I was kind of a late bloomer, I guess you could say. Like I developed a little slower for sure. And just going through that recruiting process, obviously I talk with him every day. So just telling him about all this stuff, like he kind of helped me through it. And like Ferris ended up being the school I really wanted to go to, and I'm really happy that I chose it. So.
Yeah, do you remember that early connection, like which coach it was that really kind of got it going? I'm always curious to hear about it because, you know, it is a unique coaching situation at Ferris State with a bunch of guys who have been together for a while.
Yeah, it's Coach Famulak that
Was it Famulak?
that I first talked to. I think it was I played a game in Youngstown, and I ended up meeting with him after the game, and the ball just got rolling from there. So
I want to kind of tie it back to Cedar Rapids too, because here in Bemidji, there's a handful of kids that went through that Cedar Rapids team that obviously made it to the Division I level, and they all tie it back to the coaching staff and how important and you know impactful they were in preparing them for college hockey. You know, just what is special about Cedar Rapids and just kind of the turnover rate they have to Division I college hockey?
I mean, the coaching staff's amazing. Mark is an unbelievable coach. I mean, he's been there for a long time too, and he the passion he has for the game and for coaching and like for wanting to develop you and for wanting to move you on is like unrivaled. You know what I mean? Like, he was truly hands-on all the time. Like, he cared about you as a person as well, and he wanted to prepare you for the world too, not just for college hockey.
You know, I know you've gotten to play in two GLI tournaments during your time at Ferris State. You know, we got a couple non-Michiganders here, me and Jared. Can you sort of explain what that experience like and what makes it so special?
What makes it so special is, like, I grew up, like, watching the GLI because it's obviously only – it was back – it used to be at Joe Louis Arena all the time, and so it's only an hour away, and it's mainly Michigan teams too, so it's truly like one of a kind experience for a Michigan guy. You know what I mean? You watch them growing up, and you're like, that's where I want to play. I want to play with in front of all my family, all my friends, like, and you get to play other Michigan schools. I got to play against my brother both times, so it was just really awesome to play. So,
and being a Michigander who grew up going to those, did you have a team that you kind of favored when the GLI rolled around? Did you have a favorite college hockey team growing up?
No, I wouldn't say I had a favorite team like in the GLI. Like, there was never really a team where I was like, I want them to win right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you did say you got to play against your brother. You scored against Michigan State last year. Did that bring a little bit of bragging rights home for the holidays?
I wouldn't say bragging rights. We lost that game, so yeah. But it was definitely cool to score that goal in that game, you know. Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, I can just imagine what he was thinking when I scored.
You say something to him when you skate by the bench too, yeah.
No, I didn't end up saying anything. I didn't see him as I was coming through the handshake line, so I didn't say anything.
That is a missed opportunity, my man.
I know.
No, you know, we got to talk about Bob. He's in his 33rd season as head coach at Ferris State. I got to do a story on him this year. What a guy. I mean, what a legend in this game. What's it like playing for him?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, he has a ton of knowledge and a ton of experience. Obviously, he's been here for over 30 years, and it's been truly awesome to be able to learn from him and learn from the other coaches as well, just day in and day out.
And
do you got a favorite Bob Daniels story or?
Favorite story? I don't know. I don't think so. Not off the top of my head.
Too many.
I got you.
Too many.
Well, yeah. A lot's happened, so.
But, you know, I think Bob Daniels is kind of a blueprint in a way of how to establish a culture at maybe, you know, a non-blue blood school, right, in college hockey. I mean, you don't stick around for three decades if you can't establish a culture. And, you know, so and it's not even just him. It's also the assistant coaches, right? It's the entire coaching staff, and it seems like it kind of carries down class after class after class. You know, how much just of that consistency with that coaching staff is reflected on the culture that's passed down year after year?
Yeah, I think the consistency from them truly impacts us. Like, to go every single day hard work, you're not going to win a season in a weekend, and you're not going to lose a season in a weekend either. So I think just their consistency of, like, not riding the highs or lows too much and staying steady even, and we can keep that consistency and that hard work throughout each day and each weekend.
Yeah, I found a little kind of a story, I think, locally that you got the chance to be a part of a youth clinic back in September for some kids at Avi Glavin. And obviously, you're a captain now. You know, as an older player, now who was once in their shoes so many years ago. How rewarding of an experience is that for you as a player to kind of give opportunities for like that for younger kids?
Oh, it's awesome, you know, to give back to the kids, and like, they truly look up to us and they're super excited to learn from us too. And like how quickly these kids learn things is insane. You know what I mean? Like you have a, like I had like a 4 or 5 day clinic at the end, like they were a completely different player. You know what I mean? So it's like they learn so quickly and it's just so awesome to see that.
Go ahead with the last one, Trent.
Yeah, no, I, you know, I got the chance when I was working on this story this summer to talk with a bunch of Ferris State alums about the annual golf outing while I was doing some work on Coach Daniel's profile. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't players take part in this outing as well?
Like the alumni golf outing you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's for current players too, right?
No, they don't let us current players. I wish they did. It would be cool.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it would be cool for us to, like, play with the alumni. Like, you know what I mean? You can talk to them and, like, hang out with them. But, no, we don't get to play. We just get to show up, and we get to talk to them before they tee off. So,
I see. So that's something you have to work for then, I guess, eventually down the line. I mean, from your perspective, though, how cool is that, you know, that you have this alumni outing for – all these alums that have been here over the years and they're all connected to this coaching staff. It's just, to me, that's just the most unique thing.
Yeah, it is really unique and it's really awesome. Like the short time we get to talk to them, they tell us endless stories. And it's truly awesome that like we have so many of them come back too. I think like last year or 2 years ago, like they had like the biggest turnout they've had and there was probably over 100 people there, you know what I mean? Alumni people.
Right.
So it's truly awesome that these guys can come back and yeah, they share stories with us that are really funny and they're really cool. So
yeah. I gotta follow up on that because it sounds like you play a little golf. Who is the best and who is the worst golfer on the team?
The best golfer on the team is probably Gavin Best, I'd say.
Okay.
I played with him and we did a little outing just with the team at the start of the year and I played with him and he was on my team and he was really good. I think the worst on the team might be Nick Grimaldi.
Okay.
Because he doesn't really golf, so...
All right, and we got three questions left for you, and we call these one hitters, although they end up being a little bit more thought out in recent memory because it requires a little bit of thinking, but we ask this to every single player or coach that comes on. Who is the best player that you've ever played with?
Carter Mazur.
Okay. Yeah, I like that answer. Do you have a best player from that Little Caesars team that you can pull from?
Probably him. I mean, he's in with Grand Rapids right now, so he's probably
That's right.
Yeah, he's probably the best player I think I've played with. He's all around good player. Oh my God, the skill and the hard work is just insane.
For you personally too, just you know, I'm always curious to know what were you, did you grew up in Detroit? Were you like a Red Wings fan or, you know, who was your team that you pulled for growing up?
Yeah. The Red Wings are my team pulling for growing up. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a Tigers fan. You know, I'm all of it. I'm a diehard Detroit fan.
Yeah. You're awesome. You had a pretty good fall then with the Tigers. I'm a big Twins fan.
I mean, that was tough to watch the Tigers blow, like, lose that series.
Well, they got to the playoffs, man. I mean, like,
that was unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was awesome to see them make it that far, but it was kind of heartbreaking, you know, like the Cinderella story just ended just like that. You know what I mean? We kind of hit a brick wall. So,
yeah. And this came up, you know, recently in Bemidji because Bemidji State had to go, you know, make that trip to Big Rapids last week. And talking about how tough of a place it is to play at Ferris and play at Taffy Apple. You know, those are kind of the common answers I get from Bemidji State players, the toughest place to play. So for you, what's the toughest place to play in the CCHA?
The toughest place to play.
I know it's not Augustana because you guys swept them last year.
It might be Bemidji, honestly. Like they're honestly the ice is just for me the ice is just different. Like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. the ice is just different, and like I got to get a feel for it and practice and morning practice. I got to work my hardest to like get a feel for like how the puck spins, like how fast the puck moves on that ice and everything. So
and it doesn't help getting off that long bus ride into Bemidji either.
No, it does not help at all. Go get off the bus ride, go right to practice. So
is that the longest trip for Ferris?
Yeah.
In the CCHA? Yeah.
That's longer than Sioux Falls, huh?
I'm pretty sure it's longer than Sioux Falls.
Wow. It's further south, so I would think it would be. And you know, you're not talking too much. Yeah, I think it's longer than Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
One more I got for you. One more I got for you, Travis. How about like just growing up, were there any players that you watched in the pro game that you know you tried to model your game after, guys that you really, really liked to watch? Some of your favorite players growing up?
When I was younger, it was Nick Lidstrom for sure. He was definitely my favorite player. Yeah, he was obviously unreal. And then, like, as I kind of got a little bit older, like, Quinn Hughes, honestly, was another one of my favorite players, like, watching him in college. And then, obviously, the pro was, like, he's an insane skater, and his skill is off the charts, and that really caught my eye for sure.
Sweet. Yeah. Travis, I think that's all we really have for you, man. We appreciate you coming on. I know Ferris is off to a solid start in conference play, splitting a couple of games at home. You guys are going on the road this weekend to take on Bowling Green. It's been great having you on, though. We appreciate you chatting, man.
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Travis.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, once again, thank you to Travis Shouty for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at the BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.